Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
At sportsradio610.com. Some of you still tweeting in Jose Lima stories as well from when we were talking about Lima.
Time.
Before we get to Derek Fogle for a few minutes here, the fondest YouTube memory that's out there about Jose Lima are his old Casa Ole commercials.
But that's one thing I love more than getting my pitch over the plate. And that is getting over this plate in Casa Ole. Ole! It's like a fiesta in Casa Ole.
There we go.
Casa Ole, fresh today, every day. Ole! Get an Astro Collector baseball card. We and the Charles play at Casa Ole. Casa Ole, Ole! Fresh today, Ole! Every day. Ole! Casa Ole, Ole!
Okay. I would have paid, if I could go back in time, I would pay easily $5,000 to be one of the people in that little little conga line behind him in the commercial, dancing. Derek, you weren't here for the Jose Lima days.
I was not. But
those were good times.
The early 2000s, even the 90s, just had better baseball players in commercials nowadays. You don't see it much anymore.
You don't. They have to beg Mike Trout to do commercials, yeah. And he's the face of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Derek Fogle, I'm of good. Course, I didn't mention previously, I called him Baseball Jesus. He's our expert. Of course, he's one half of The Shift as well, which you can hear later on tonight after the game, right?
Yeah, we'll be on at 9.
Okay, 9 o'clock tonight. You and Patrick McClellan, you guys do a great job. Enjoy your Facebook Lives as well.
It's a disaster.
That's what makes it so great. Are you kidding me? Let me bounce something off of you, Derek. I espoused this theory yesterday, and I think I'm in the minority at the station, but let's see what you think about this. They're 1-1, the Astros and the Red Sox right now. My theory is that I feel like the Red Sox, if you're asking which team feels better about getting out of there 1-1, I know that they lost home field advantage. I don't know how important home field advantage is in this series, because I think both teams can win in the other team's stadium. I feel like the Red Sox got to feel pretty good about getting a split against Verlander and Cole. That, to me, of all the things that happened in this series, supersedes everything else in terms of what either team should feel good about. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they brought in Porcello and, I mean, had to change their Game 3 starter tells you everything. They felt like they had to win, and that was their best opportunity to win the game, that they had to pull and use a starter in relief.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they feel good about the split, I would have to say, because they almost feel like they stole it.
Yeah. And Porcello's still going to start, I think, game four, right? Yeah.
So they're already
piecing things together. Tony Kemp said that to us when we talked to him earlier. He said the biggest success for the Astros in this series is they've gotten into the bullpen now.
Yeah.
Deep into the Red Sox bullpen.
Funny thing is, though, it used to be Joe Kelly was factored in this conversation, but Barnes, Brazier, and Hembry and Kelly held the Yankees to 2-for-30 in that entire series, and all we had talked about going into the playoffs was what a dumpster fire the Red Sox bullpen is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Barnes, Brazier, and Hembry, to my knowledge, are still haven't allowed extra base hits.
Right. It hasn't been a dumpster fire in the LCS so far.
Yeah. So, and provided they have done things like throw Sale in there and Porcello, and we know they've made some adjustments because they're carrying more position players, oddly enough, which pitching is always at a premium. So, whatever.
Is odd.
It's strange. But regardless, they've been a lot better than I think anyone's expected. Because even during the regular season, they were hanging on. And Kimbrel, he escaped game four.
He's the shakiest out of all of them right now. With the way he ended the Yankees series. And, you know, Bregman's a centimeter away.
You want to get to Kimbrel.
Yeah, I think you do too.
They beat him up last year.
And Cora's going to pitch him because he's a little more formulaic than A.J. Hinch is, I think, from that standpoint.
It's crazy. So as you're watching this Astros team, obviously they've had to make adjustments based on the less than 100% health of both Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve. And we don't have to even talk about how important these guys are to what the Astros are trying to get done. What are you seeing in terms of any limitations these guys have? Altuve is going to be the DH today and not endure having to play second base. And Correa has been dropped to 7 because, well, he's not been much of a factor at the plate due to his back.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, in regards to them in the lineup, Altuve's knee, you know, it bothers him. you're going to try and get his feet moving a little more. You're really going to, and that's kind of how you have to go after Jose Altuve anyways. You have to go in and out because you can't change eye level on him. His, you know, his strike zone is a foot tall. So you're going to see him move around. It makes it so they're more inclined to, you know, not pitch to whoever's in front of Correa and whoever's in front of Altuve. That's offensively, like, it gives them a little more options. They're not too afraid of putting guys on base, which we've seen. They've walked Bregman plenty of times. He's really not going to see the light of day, it would appear. He's getting the Barry Bonds or the Bryce Harper treatment almost. As far as their, you know, mobility goes in the field, I would say I think we learned a lot just from the 11 or 12 days that both of them were out of the lineup, but also not playing defense. You got to have at least one of them because there were errors that happened that aren't necessarily on the score sheet as errors. You know, and Yuli did a nice job filling in places, and Marwin and Alex and Bregman, they can do their thing. But the fact of the matter is you need at least one of them because Carlos Correa, to my knowledge, is the only guy that can throw someone out from short left center on a 97 out of the hand or whatever.
And I'm amazed with, look, it's obvious whatever he's got is affecting him at the plate. But it's not like there's not torque and bend and all sorts of motion involved playing shortstop that you would think might be an issue if you've got a back problem, but I don't see any drop-off in his defense.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. And part of that, I think, is because the way Correa plays shortstop, he's a one-handed guy. The smaller guys, since they're lower to the ground, literally, that's when you see the two-handed plays. Correa doesn't do that. Watch. It's almost, you think it almost looks cocky because, you know, you're always taught to field it with two hands, but it's because he's a one-handed shortstop. He's a taller guy. Like, that's how he plays the position. So I think that, it sounds silly, but I think that saved his back a little bit in the field.
Interesting.
Derek Fogle joining us in studio talking Astros and Red Sox Game 3. Derek, probably one of the more disturbing sequences in Game 2, if you're an Astros fan, was the inning that Lance McCullers pitched in Game 2 where Martin Maldonado and he had all kinds of problems with each other. Were those communication issues? Was it just Maldonado having a bad day? And how do you think that impacts AJ Hinch's decision making late in games with respect to either guy?
Yeah, funny thing is, I think part of it, Maldonado himself said it was one of them was a cross up.
Yeah.
The other thing, I think Maldonado only caught Lance a handful of times before the season's end because remember, he was on the DL for the last like 5 or 6 weeks almost of the season before he came back for two outings or whatever. So I think that was part of it. And also factor in the fact that you can't go out for a mound visit and just talk about it, right? You can't just burn that up. Although hindsight, you're like, oh no, that would have been a good place to make sure that we got the signs right.
Yeah.
You know? And then the other thing about that, you know, I think we overlook as 6'10 guys, cause we have Lance in here all the time. When he came out for those two relief outings to end the season, in each of them, while they were only like 11 and 12 pitches, he did have a 58, 57 foot curveball, even a 59-foot fastball, not quite making it all the way there. That's tough to block when it's that far out in front of the plate. But he's always kind of been that guy. He's a max effort guy. He might grip it a little too tight and do things like that. If it happens once an inning, it might hurt you, and then sure enough, it did. And I noticed that, and I said it on the shift, like, that's my one concern, is being a starter, you don't really think about those things. You're less worried about the wild pitch because you have time to develop your game. Well, it's a totally different animal that Lance has had to adjust to coming out of the pen. So you have to be more conscious of, okay, if I'm going to bounce it here, it's still got to be a quality pitch. Like, we can't just have that one that gets away, even though they happen. But that's something that relievers are more conscious of. You work with your catcher a little bit better, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. Derek Fogle joining us in studio. So what do you think about this pitching matchup today, starting in a few minutes here with Keiko and Uvalde?
People feel good after that little trolling, I guess everyone's calling it, from Bregman. People feel good about going against Uvalde. He was good against the Yankees, but here's the thing that nobody's talking about. He had two stress innings. Then the Red Sox had a 10-run lead. Do you know how easy it is to pitch in Yankee Stadium with a 10-run lead?
Not firsthand, but I can imagine.
It's that when you have a cushion like that, I think it was 10-1. Or maybe it was 7-1. Doesn't matter. When you have that kind of lead, you're fearless. You're just filling up the zone. You're going to let them get outs because they have to swing. So, I mean, I don't think the Red Sox are going to be able to do that to Dallas Keuchel. If anything, it's perfect. Game 3, like, I think I heard you say the stat that 75% of the road teams that win the game go on to win the series. The Red Sox are going to press. Keuchel's a guy that can slow it down. When you have to slow anybody down and force someone to stay in the middle of the field and take away that big home run thought that you can get on a guy like Eovaldi because he's throwing harder, that's huge. So it's going to be interesting, but I don't think Eovaldi, people are overlooking the fact that he had a huge lead.
9 o'clock tonight, you and Patrick McClellan.
We got it.
So that'll be the perfect post-game. The way these games have played, it'll be butting right up against the shift at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
These games for games, that, you know, they've been running long. Not a big surprise.
No.
They've been running long. So 9 o'clock tonight, right here on Sports Radio 610. Derek Fogle, Patrick McClellan, the shift. They do a phenomenal job. So be listening here once the game is over tonight. You'll get some great baseball talk with the guys. Derek, we appreciate you jumping in, man.
Hey, appreciate you guys.
Enjoy the game. Yeah. Yeah, your pipes are getting a lot of love on the text page too. People love Derek Fogle's voice.
I'm told I sound like Archer and a chill Mark Vandermeer.
Okay.
Also does a very good Garrett Cole impression.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
I feel like Garrett Cole and Patrick Mahomes kind of went to the same speech therapist.
I feel like you were born for smooth jazz.
You think so?
I do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that still exist? Maybe I can go for it.
Yeah. Start it back up again if it doesn't. Yeah. All right. Derek Fogle, Patrick McClellan, 9 o'clock tonight, The Shift. You can listen to it right here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.